With just one simple trick, I can tell you the secret to change your life. Let me also tell you the secret that the doctors don't want you to know. What do the prettiest twins in the world look like now? Find out all these things and more on The Daniel Natale Show. John Stuart Mill writes, "By some minds, government is conceived as strictly a practical art, giving rise to no questions, but those of means and an end. Forms of government are assimilated to any other expedients for the attainment of human objects. They are regarded as wholly an affair of invention and contrivance. Being made by man, it is assumed that man has the choice either to make them or not, and how or on what pattern they shall be made." He adds, "To these stand opposed another kind of political reasoners, who are so far from assimilating a form of government to a machine, that they regard it as a sort of spontaneous product, and the science of government as a branch, so to speak, of natural history." According to them, forms of government are not a matter of choice. We must take them in the main as we find them. Governments cannot be constructed by premeditated design. They are not made, but grow. Our business with them, as with other facts of the universe, is to acquaint ourselves with their natural properties and to adapt ourselves to them. A dog, for instance, isn't aware that a building is constructed. He thinks that it sprouted from the ground like a tree. Most people are like the dog. They assume that artificial things are natural, that they must obey them as rigorously as they would obey Newton's laws of physics. Reinhard Bendix wrote of the medieval era that the vast mass of people acquiesced to the established order out of religious awe, for the rule of the privileged few appeared to the many as if it were a force of nature. Karl Popper said that the tribe dwells in a charmed circle of unchanging taboos of laws and customs, which are felt to be as inevitable as the rising of the sun. I say all this because of the Supreme Court recently taking up the issue of OSHA laws and COVID mask mandates. When people saw the court artist's representation of the justices, only one of them was not wearing a mask. One of the posters in the comment section of the article wrote, "Just like the Salem witch trials, nobody has the balls to controvert the ritual, lest they be singled out as a transgressor and perpetrator of communal harm." At mention of the Salem witch trials, I thought that yes, what we're watching is mass formation psychosis, and it's extremely analogous to the Salem witch trials. You have something with no science backing it whatsoever, but everyone falls in line with what bribed politicians are receiving under-the-table pharmaceutical money to lock down their society, and if you resist, you're basically subjected to wide-eyed true believers who think that you're in league with the devil for disobeying the corporations. Note how God is absent from the equation. We're supposed to obey the corporations now, and their rule is supposed to be as airtight and inevitable as natural law. Marjorie Kelly, in her book, The Divine Right of Capital, adds, "Governance by taboo, by norms not open to discussion, is characteristic of closed societies. Such cultures make no distinction between, say, the law of gravity and the divine right of kings. These societies believe that their customs have the same force as natural law and may never be altered." People are quick to compare what's happening now to Nazi Germany, but really, Salem in 1692 is a far more apt analogy. Just as the hysteria was kicked off and driven there by frantic female NPCs whose unhinged lust for control tips over into violence. The last time Salem witch trial behavior was allowed to get out of control, the King of England said that the Americans had proven that they were unworthy of self-rule. Charles Beard, in A History of the United States, writes, "With persons accused of witchcraft, the Puritans were still more ruthless. When a mania of persecution swept over Massachusetts in 1692, 18 people were hanged, one was pressed to death, many suffered imprisonment, and two died in jail." Just about this time, however, there came a break in the uniformity of Puritan rule. The crown and church in England had long looked upon it with disfavor, and in 1684, King Charles II annulled the old charter of the Massachusetts Bay Company. Basically, the king dissolved the colonists' government and sent over people from England to rule, since the Americans had proven themselves so unequal to self-rule. So unless the adults seize control of the situation and cooler heads prevail, yanking away power from a media bent on fear-mongering and corporations using irrationality to peddle products that no one needs, then we may very well lose our republic. In the end, the biggest threat wasn't from an enemy invader, but from those who would weaponize the irrational, whip up public hysteria, and use fear, oppression, and persecution as tools to acquire more political power.
Get away! Get off! Fighting me!
What is it? Be not afraid.
Get away!
You are in a house of God. Be not afraid. What afflicts you?
A witch afflicts me!
Where be this witch?
If you want to learn more about our nation and how it became great in the first place, purchase our new bookazine, Trump World. Key in Trump25DN to get free shipping and handling. That's Trump25, D as in Daniel, N as in Natal. As in the first American Revolution, the first step to securing your liberty is freeing your mind. Learn your own history and see how the past is affecting the present. Order a copy of Trump World today at thenewamerican.com.